Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Now Once Fondled, Now Favored Woman. My name is Bettina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you all tonight. I'm so excited about everything that's coming up. Just to recap a little bit, well, before I do that, you all know I don't start this show without prayer, so let's just go into prayer, and then we can get into the exciting news. So let's get ready for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. Hallelujah, the highest praise that we can offer to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives, all that you're doing, and all that you're about to do. I thank you for the good times. I thank you for the not so good times. But I take them all as lessons, like we all should, Lord. We know that you are a just God. We know that you are a lovable God. You are a gentle God. And I thank you, Lord, for surrounding us with your grace, your mercy, but most of all, your unconditional love. And as I move forward tonight, Lord, I ask you to, I surrender Chyna to you, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in, to saturate my heart, saturate the mind, saturate the attention and the ears of what you have in store for me to present tonight. Thank you for allowing me to be the vessel. I thank you for those who are waiting in the wings. I thank you for those who are listening to the show live and also on the replay. I just ask for a special covering over their lives. And Lord, as we move forward tonight, as I move into your word, I ask that anything that I say of you is a reflection of you, that you come before me and guide my thoughts, guide my words, and guide my actions. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, I miss you all so much, and I'm just so happy to be here. As I mentioned earlier, there was a change I mentioned in the name, and you all know that my show has always been Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. And it's interesting because August 11th will mark the two-year anniversary of Chronicles, and I could not do it without you all. So I thank you all so much for your continuous support and throughout all of it, through my when I took my mental health break in May, also being here now. There's so much that's going on right now. It's just unbelievable. When you just surrender to his will, you just be surprised. Sometimes you just overwhelmed like I am about his goodness and his grace. You know, what I will say this, going back to the name of the show, as we move forward to the anniversary date for Chronicles, there we will change the name of the show. And actually, I've already started doing some of that, and the name will change to Chronicles of a Favored Woman. I'm looking forward to speaking on that for the anniversary, to talk about the change and how why change is necessary. But I'm totally excited about what's to come. I want to thank all of you all who are tuning in throughout the United States. And I actually want to, and I thank you for those who are outside of the United States, because we now have another country on board, France. So they're tuning in. So I thank you for those who are listening in France. It's a privilege and a pleasure and an honor to be here. And the topic tonight, what if? What if? For those of anyone who knows that could be blessed by this tonight, please have them reach out. They can go to Blog Talk Radio. It would be under www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Favored Woman. You all know that I still have my Facebook page. It's still under the old name, Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. That will either change. If it don't let me change it, then I will be shutting it down and rebranding. It's the word that rebranding is what I'm doing. But with that being stated, as of right now, you can still reach me on the Facebook page under the former name of Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. And I'm so excited about what's to come. For those who are not on Blog Talk Radio. You can also reach me out on Instagram because I do have an Instagram page under my personal name as Fuchina Kirkendall. So if you missed it, you can catch the link. I will post the link on Instagram later on. And also, those who continuously email me, I thank you so much for reaching out to making me aware how the show or how the program has impacted you, because we're here together. Like I mentioned earlier, and I continue to mention, that Chronicles is here to provide an environment for those who are going through right now, regardless if you've been coming from any type of trauma. Let me say that. But you all know that I'm a survivor of molestation, childhood molestation, and I just invite not just anyone who's been abused. It's for people who've had trauma, going through trauma, and if you're still living, you may go through it as well. But it provides a safe environment for us to discuss what's going on. And it's open and it's free. You know, we all have respect for one another, but that goes without saying. But that's what this is all about. It is about the power of our voice and to be heard, because there's a power or there's a story. Everyone has a story. I'm a firm believer of that. And just use it, exercise it, because someone out there needs to hear it. With that being stated, we're going to go back to the topic. What if? When I was talking to a friend of mine who's my special guest tonight, we were having a conversation, and it just always evolves into something totally, totally different. So we were just talking about how life in general, how we go through things in our lives, and, you know, situation happens. You know, sometimes we do something and we wonder, well, if I would have done this, what would have happened? Or if I would have done that, what would have happened? We all live in the what if moment. The thing is, what do you do with your what if? Once you made that decision and now you deal with the consequences behind it, we're going to talk about the what if, and then we're going to also talk about how do we survive, or how do we come back from a what if moment, or try to just come to a consensus as to how we can handle that in the future. What if comes from, it goes back from the Bible, and basically what if really comes from, if you think about it, if I had to put it in the words, I will use the word, the best word I can probably use on this is regret. Sometimes we have regrets in our life. We regret certain decisions. We regret certain things, whether it's the choice of a relationship, whether it's the choice of the, you know, choosing the right job, the choice of whatever, there's always something that we end up in some type of regret. So, of course, you know, I'm a Google fan, and I went on Google, and Google describes regret as a noun and a verb. And the noun is a feeling of sadness, repentance, or disappointment over something that has happened or has been done. For example, or if I was to use it in a sentence, you know, she expressed her regret at Virginia's death. You know, that will be an example of the regret. Now, on the verb side of it, it's in third person, and it indicates still sad, repentant, or disappointed over something that has happened or has been done, especially a loss or missed opportunity. How many of you all know about that missed opportunity moment? My hand is raised, for sure, definitely. My hand is raised. Well, tonight, I have the privilege and the pleasure of having a special guest here tonight. And like I mentioned, I was speaking to a friend of mine, and we were just having this conversation about the what ifs. I said, man, I think people need to know about this, because I'm sure we're not the only ones that have gone through it. So let's just dig into it. So I want to introduce to some and present to others Ms. Anita Witt. How are you this evening?
I am blessed, Fuchina. Blessed to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for accepting. Oh, thank you for accepting. Thank you for accepting. I really do. I appreciate you being here tonight. And as I mentioned about what if, what does the what if boils down to, if I had to describe it in one word, mine was regret. Do you have another word that you will use?
I totally agree with you, and that was the first thing that came to my mind when we were talking about it. And you know, and as I was thinking about it over the last couple of days and pondering, I tell you, I went from left to right and all the way down, you know, before coming back up. It's such a broad topic. What if, you know, and I went all the way back to childhood and, you know, my divorces, you know, past relationships. So, yes, regret, a lot of regret. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what's interesting, as I was doing my reading, you know, I went to the Bible. And, you know, when people, I always tell people, everything that has happened to us in this world, you can find it in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all we are.
That was one thing I thought about, too, especially when, you know, your steps are ordered, you know, and you totally surrender to God. There are certain things that we go through in life that we don't realize it at the time, you know, that the steps that we're taking, the choices that we're making. However, I've gotten to a certain point that when I look back at certain things, I kind of, you know, understand that those were ordered steps and not so much of just the choices that I've made. So it helped me to deal with the regret a lot better, you know.
Exactly. As far, you know, I was going back and just looking at some references, and I came to Samuel 15, chapter 10 through 11 first, and this is when God tells the prophet Samuel concerning Saul, you know, who he established, you know, as, earlier as a king of Israel. You know, and in the New Living Translation, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I regret that I've made Saul king, for he has turned away from following me and has not carried out my instructions." So if it goes back to when the Old Testament, surely to know is happening now. So then it goes back to what I said earlier, you know, nothing happens in our lives that we cannot go back to scripture. That we cannot go back to scripture and show, and you know, and it just shows we're all human, okay? We all do things. If it goes back to, you know, God and Samuel, we're no different. The only you know, there is no difference. We we have to decide what we're going to do once that is done. So I would like for you to start off, if you don't mind, telling me about a what if moment for you, because you're right. This is a broad topic. It's a very broad topic, but it the foundation is still the same. The foundation is still the same. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah, so one of the things I thought about was, you know, going through the second divorce, which happened about 7 years ago, the divorce, I think divorces or, you know, relationships or things like that, when we decide to step out of them or in them, happens like way before, many years before we actually do it. And so there were periods this last 3 years that was very, very difficult. Actually, I even had, you know, a couple of people to tell me that I was even crazy for staying those last 3 years. But those were the most those were my growing years. Those were the years that I became closer to God. And I believe that it was God that helped me there those last 3 years for the lesson that I've learned, because I would not have been able to walk away with unforgiveness and still say to someone that hurt me deeply, I love you and I wish you well. So I think about what if I had not stayed those 3 years, because I many times I tried to leave, but it was as if, you know, God was just closing the door every time. And so I often think about that. If I had jumped out too soon, my pastor kind of said, you know, there's a timing, and although it's your turn. That there's a timing also, and he used the illustration of the double Dutch jump rope that we used to do as children. He said, it's your turn. You're up here now, and you're swaying back and forth, you know, with the rope, because you got to jump in at the right time. And I think there was a timing you know, for me to walk out of that marriage. And so, yeah, it was a lot of regrets of not doing or even doing some certain things. But and then I had to get to the realization that, you know, it was the Lord that was to continue to tell me, do it unto me, you know, and not until this person, but unto me. And so, yeah, I mean, a lot of regrets staying as long as I did, not leaving when I thought I should. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the steps that I believe that the Lord allowed me or led me to take.
Exactly. To piggyback on that, I'm on divorce, so I'm divorced now 18 years. And when I think about regret, my regret would be not following God on it, because I was, you know, for me, I knew I should not have married him in the first place. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as women, you know, we feel that we could change him, or we could make him love us, or it just wasn't a good fit. You know, and at first everything was great, but when it all boiled down to it, I shouldn't have done it. The principles or everything was not there. And then number one, I didn't seek God and I didn't listen to him. I did it on my own, you know. Mm-hmm. But I will say this as a result, because God will still love you regardless if you want to listen to him or not, okay? Mm-hmm. He's still going to love you. He's going to wait for you to do whatever it is that needs to be done, because he knows you. We're going to come back, and I did. I did come back mm-hmm. to him. And like you, I found a deeper relationship with God mm-hmm. throughout that situation. And even though it turned into, when I took my focus off of him, I paid the price, and that's a show for another day. I seriously paid the price. And it just ended up in a situation. But God is just, he's faithful. And regardless of what you do, he is a forgiving God. Mm-hmm. Even in our own willingness to do what we want to do and not what he tells us to do. He'll mm-hmm. always bring mm-hmm. us back. But, you know, life without regret, what is life without them? You know, I learned to get closer to him. I had to learn who I was. And honestly, mm-hmm. it made me stronger. It made me a stronger mm-hmm. person, because I didn't think I could mm-hmm. endure the pain and the suffering that came with that. And it was a lot, not just from that, but from the outside, you know, from family members, from friends or whatever, who are on the outside looking in. I've always been a strong tongue person, so I had to hold my tongue, because I had lost my entire identity. I didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. I lost myself mm-hmm. in the process. And towards the end, when there was a turn, and I was like, wait a minute. I don't take this from no one, because my family didn't mm-hmm. even recognize me. We don't even recognize you, Tina. The Tina we know don't take stuff like that. But mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. different. It's totally different. That leads to some 3 or 4 different shows when it comes to soul tithing, when it comes to manipulation, when it comes to you just narcissism, you know, narcissist. It just mm-hmm. comes to so mm-hmm. many things. But the bottom line is, what if I would have mm-hmm. just been obedient to God?
Mm. Right.
You know, but he took that situation, mm-hmm. he took that left turn, and he made a testimony out of it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And mm-hmm. and those are the things that I thought about too, you know, what if, because I would not be here in this place to mm-hmm. tell my story, you know, if I had not listened to God, if I had not surrendered. And then too, you know, a regret was even getting married in the first place, you know, just mm-hmm. this particular person, because just as you, I didn't seek God on it either. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was, I guess, I'm sure there was some good times, but, you know, towards the last, I guess, what, 10 years or so, it was so many bad that it's just hard mm-hmm. to remember any of the good times, unfortunately. And, mm-hmm. the greatest thing I can say that came out of it was my relationship with God, the closeness, you know, the experience because of that too. Those last 3 years, one of those moments that I went through was in actually not just knowing God, but actually having a relationship with God. You know, how we go through these, you know, you hear the ministers say sometimes, you know, I've entered into the Holy of Holies and no one can ever explain it.
Right.
And I've had that moment. Yeah, I had that moment during that time. And during those 3 years, God was constantly speaking to me through dreams. And I would have two dreams that was consecutive year after year after year for those three dreams. I had many, but there was two that was just consecutive every year. And so, so in thinking about, you know, not going through it, not, you know, and giving up because it was very hard. It was very difficult. It was very difficult, you know, very difficult. But I'm glad to be on the other side of it now.
Yeah. When we look back over our life
and
we think things
there's
an old song too. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Oh yes, I'm blessed. And that is so true because, you know, it's interesting. We can go through a situation and get out of it, God will take us out of it, and then end up in the situation again. I know for me.
I've dealt with that in relationships, you know, after the divorce. It took me about maybe about, I think, 4 or 5 years even after that to even think about trying to date again. And it's so different because it's been like 30 years or so since I've dated, and things are so different, you know, now that I remembered. And I think a lot of the things I experience now as an adult, a 50-year-old adult, some things are out of ignorance, some things are out of habit, some things are just out of stubbornness, you know. So some things, you know, I have to realize, you know, put in perspective that, you know, putting myself through regretting doing the same thing, like you said, getting into the same relationship because, I mean, you know, they're all singing the same song. And it's like you already know what this is. But for one reason or another, you decide to continue to entertain it.
And that could be from, that could stem from many reasons. Some could be familiarity, you know, something is familiar. I know that some people, you know, having conversation and, you know, past experience as well, we know something is not good for us, but we still entertain it because it's comfortable and it's familiar. And we get uncomfortable with what is right. We get so uncomfortable, we become scared. And we'll return back to the same thing that we got to deliver.
Yes, we do. And I think, like you said, Aaliyah, because we're comfortable with it, because we're familiar with it, you know, we're familiar with it. So we gravitate to those things that we're familiar with, you know, be it good or bad.
Exactly.
And then get frustrated. Exactly. I know for me, get frustrated all over again because it's like, okay, here we go, you know, but you put yourself there. So I have to talk myself out of stuff because I continue to go through it over and over. It's like, okay, we're not going to do this time. We, you know, we're gonna do better because we are better. We deserve better, you know.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
You're right. You have, you know, you, if you know, I'm just wondering, you know, how many people out there have gone through, I know it's not just me and Anissa, you know, Anissa, as I'm sure there are other people, regarding this situation, and basically we're talking about what if we're dealing with regret. My name is Pachina Karkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Once Fondled But Now Favored Woman. So the new show will be Chronicles of a Favored Woman. I'm so excited to be here tonight. If you know anyone that could be blessed by this, please, if they're on Blog Talk Radio, please look us up under Chronicles of a Favored Woman. And if they're going in on the internet, they can type in www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Favored Woman. If you follow me on my Facebook, you can also get the link from Fucina Kirkinall, Foucina. The last name is Kirkendoll. And I still have my old page up of Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. You're more than welcome to go on the Facebook page as well, and the link is there. I found out that people are still listening in. Now, I have a dashboard, and my dashboard let me know anyone who's calling in. I'll even know some of the statistics of the show, but sometimes I can't tell if someone's actually chiming in by tuning into the link. So that's something I want to ask Blog Talk about, because I would love to know that, because what I find out is that some people are listening and I don't even know that they're listening. So, Anita, I want to thank you for being here, because your testimony is powerful and it helps people, because I like people to know when they come into to Chronicles that they're not by themselves. They're not alone. There's a power in our voice. Mm-hmm. There's a power in just the testimony that you're offering here, you know, because someone mm-hmm. is going through the same thing and they need to know that they're not alone. So I thank you for coming and sharing on board tonight. And for those who are interested in reaching out to me, email, because I didn't mention that earlier. And I thank you for those who are continuously bringing in the emails. I thank you. You can always email me at coafw@gmail.com. That's coafwoman@gmail.com. I don't think I said that the last time. So it's coafwoman@gmail.com. So with that being stated, we get through the pleasantries. Let's move forward and going back to the meat of the matter. And Anita, my special guest tonight is Miss Anita Whitley. Thank you so much for coming. So she is very dear to me, but I love when we can just have these conversations because they're real. You know, this is not something you can make up. You know, these are real life, and people are out there going through. They are. Mm-hmm. There's power in your voice. There's power.
Yeah.
So going back to what we were talking about earlier, if you could repeat the last thing you said, that would be great.
I think the last thing I was talking about I'm sorry?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Well, I was just saying or summarize.
Okay. Well, one thing in summary, what I've come to discover, too, is that many of the things that we go through is not just for us, but it's for other people. So that's mm-hmm. the importance of sharing, because as you mentioned, there's so many people that are going through some similar things as well. And not everybody is verbal. Some people mm-hmm. are quiet about, you know, their storms or their trials. Some people are embarrassed by them. I didn't have the opportunity to be embarrassed about a lot of things. You know, I knew from, you know, as a teenager, you know, what my calling was. So many things I've gone through. For some reason, growing up through life, you know, people would kind of gravitate to me and just start talking and getting into deep conversation about personal things that they were going through. And I have always been just led to share. I mean, just threw it out there. And, of course, you get some back talk about, you know, people, you know, saying things about what you said. But when you know, who you are and why you are, it doesn't matter, because you're not put here for yourself anyway. And, you know, the experiences that we go through in life, we are to help each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's phenomenal on what you said. You're right. You know, that is very true. The things that have happened to us in life, it's not for us. It's for someone mm-hmm. else. Now, at right. the time that you're going through, it's hard to believe that. You know, almost said a little insane, because I know when mm-hmm. I was first told it by a pastor, she said, "Kina, the things that are happening to you is not for you, for someone else." I looked at her like mm-hmm. she was kind of special. Like, what do you mean by that? I mean, I don't I don't like what I'm going through. But I understand it now because this is how Chronicles built. This is how your ministry was built, as based on the broken pieces that has occurred in our life. But the thing about broken pieces is you still can hold on. You can still hold on, you know, and create something new.
Right.
Through God's grace. And it's through His grace and mercy we're able to do it. And I tell people, you know, it doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter. Just keep God first. Know that you know that you know that you know He has got it. He has got it. He has got it. And you just stay persistent and you stay resilient. And I promise you, you'll see the difference in the end because the enemy wants you to give up. He wants you to give up. He wants as much company as
because
he possibly can where
impact.
He is.
Yes.
And think about it.
It's
your
not just
story.
About you, but if he could, if he cut you out, then you wouldn't be able to impact anyone else's life. Yeah, I remember, oh my gosh, being in a fetal position and asking God, like, really, do I have to go through this, you know? But and like you said, at the time you're going through it, you don't understand why at the time. But I knew then, you know, because I'd been going through things long enough and I was in the ministry at the time. So I knew there had to be a greater purpose, but I'm like, God, really? You know, but when God is calling you out, you're going to go through some stuff and you're going to go through it publicly because when he puts you where your purpose to be, when you get there, you know, how high ever it is, you know, you need to be able to withstand whatever storm's going to come your way because they're going to come, especially the higher you go, you know, the stronger the storms. And so you need to be able to withstand it. So now it's like, you know, I could tell my story and really it doesn't faze me at all about, you know, things that people would say against what I had because I went through it. I lived it. I know it's true. And I came through it, so I know that's true. And the things that have, you know, that was God ordered and God has walked me out of it and even carried me through some things, I can't dispute that with anybody, you know? So it's like, I mean, that's undisputable. So I have to live my purpose, live my life and know who I am, regardless of, you know, how anybody think about it. You know, I have to tell my story for that, just that one person out of 1,000 that it may reach. Yeah.
Exactly. There's power. There's power in knowing who you are and whose you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think about when you say you were in that fetal position, I remember those days. Oh, I remember those days. You know, I don't want people to think that it's, you know, it's one of those situations where once you're healed and delivered, that's it. No, no. You're always
my pastor
the higher
say,
your level. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. My pastor used to say, you know, your reward for getting through this storm is the next storm. you know? You're going to be tested on every level.
Exactly. Exactly. Because remember, the higher the level, the bigger the devil.
Exactly. Exactly.
The higher the level, the bigger the devil. And what it did, you got through one situation, it's preparing you and making you stronger because there's another situation coming up. And as he is elevating you, he is strengthening you through each level, each circumstance. So when you go through that, what if, because that's what we're talking about tonight. What if I would have done this? What if I would have done that? You know, but, you know, I want to kind of change the script a little bit. But what if you did that? For instance, you know right from wrong, okay? And some of us, and we're all guilty of it, we knew right from wrong, and we still did it anyway. Mine would be my marriage. I knew I should not. What if I would have followed him? Where would I have been? Well, the path I still would have been on my path, and I wouldn't have had the detour that I took, the six mm-hmm. and a half years detour I would have took, and I could have been leveled. But you know what? In the end, God got blessed anyway, because I was able to come to my senses, realize what I have done, and go through, as we mentioned, that fetal position. I remember being in my mm-hmm. bed one night, and I had so much coming on me with my son being in Australia with his father and me being here and just, you know, the divorce and this and that and this and that. And I just started literally laughing. I started cracking up, like just mm-hmm. I could not stop. And then I realized I'm about to have a nervous breakdown, and I had to call on God. I was literally, mm-hmm. I said, I'm having a nervous breakdown. And I had to call on God and ask him to please deliver me from this. I don't want to lose my mind. I want to stay here. Yes, I know I made a mistake, but I need my stable mentality. I mm-hmm. have to be here, and I can't do this on my own. I need you to come in. I need you to come in. What if I wasn't strong enough to call on him like that? What if, you know, mm-hmm. there's so many what ifs and so many angles you can take. But the truth of the matter is he guided me. He instructed me. Mm-hmm. He held me. Mm-hmm. You know, he comforted me. He consoled me. How many of you all, anyone out there, have gone through that or experienced that? You know, there's nothing like when you're in that moment. For me, when I was about to head towards a nervous breakdown, a mental breakdown, that I called out to him. I called out to him like I needed him. I was desperate. And he reached out and comforted me,
mm-hmm.
told mm-hmm. me it's going to mm-hmm. be all right. I got you. I mm-hmm. hear you. And I got you.
Right.
I got you. Yeah. There is no love like Jesus' love.
Yeah, I experienced that as well. And actually, God answered me in a dream one night. And this was actually how it led up to me having that encounter with him later on. But I was dreaming. I was in my room, and there was a storm outside. It was like a tornado. You know, there was trees and houses, cars, people, everything just flying by my window. And it was, you know, very thick out there. And so I'm looking out the window, and all this commotion going on, and the wind is blowing very strong. So I turned back around in my room, and I looked. It's just peaceful and calm. And I got back in the bed, and God said, there's going to be many storms that's going to take place. He said, but he's placing the peace of God on the inside of me. Because I'd been crying out all night, you know, like, God, like, you know, help me, you know, take it away. And I remember my mother telling me, she said, well, if you don't get through it, you know, you're probably going to have to go through something else, and it could be worse. And I'm like, oh, God, that's only take it away if you think I'm ready. So that was my prayer then. Mm-hmm. But that led up to me praying, I mean, all day. I got up that morning about 6 or 7, and I'm praying, and I think it may have been like 1 o'clock in the morning when I actually found myself waking up. I had fallen asleep praying in my closet. And but when I woke up, I was so excited to get to church that morning. I got there before church opened, you know. And so we're sitting outside in the parking lot, the kids and I, just waiting to get in, because I felt like God had a word for me. Like, I had this experience last night, and I didn't know what it was. And when I got there, my pastor was talking about entering into the Holy of Holies, and I was like, ah, that's what that was. So he will answer our prayers. He will see us through. And so after that, I just, like, you know, I knew that when I started to go through things, I just had to, like, you know, grit my teeth and stick my fingernails in, because it's like, we're going to have to go through this in order to get to the other side of through. You know, we can't stop here, because this is not our destiny. You know, I can't stop in the middle of the storm. I got to get to the other side of through. So, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, what I've learned is I love how you stated, you know, that you brace yourself down, got yourself mentally mm-hmm. ready, because you know you got to go through. Because there are times, you know, we may go through a storm and we give up,
mm-hmm.
and then only to mm-hmm. find that we're going to do the same storm again,
mm-hmm.
just
exactly.
on a different
yes.
level. And I brought it up to say this, that God only wants to show you, well, I don't want to misquote him or anything, but I'm just going to paraphrase. He wants us to learn the lesson. He doesn't want us to have to repeat the lesson over and over and over
mm-hmm.
again, because that's what
mm-hmm.
we'll end up doing. If we don't
mm-hmm.
submit, if we don't, you know, go through it, we're going to go through
mm-hmm.
it over again. So all the work you take to get there, and chances are you is probably towards the end, and that's when we give up.
Right.
And then now we go
yes.
back, and we're going back to the same situation,
right.
just a different scenario, and it, until it
exactly.
finally clicks on us, okay, let
yeah.
me buckle down. Let me
right.
put on my armor. Let me do whatever I need to do. I don't want to go through this again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about it like giving birth. You know, you can't stop in the middle pushing. You
yes.
know, you've got to get the baby through.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful because when I started going through this, I met my godmother. She lives in Canada, and she was here in Atlanta visiting. And it was such a blessing because she helped me to go through stuff. Sometimes I would call her, like, lamenting, and she was like, listen to yourself. Just listen to you. She always had a tape recorder, you know. And so I you know, in going through those things, it made it easy. Well, it was comforting, you know, to know that she was there to kind of guide me through. Like, you got to go through it. And that's the way I started looking at things. You know, this baby got to be born, and it has to be born now. Like, we're in labor. You know,
mm-hmm. exactly.
we got to have a baby.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when you have that first child, that's when it's like there is no turning back. We're going to have to go
mm-hmm.
through this because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what to
right,
expect,
right.
what to do. You know, with me, I opt to have no medication. I didn't want any medication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I got to like 8 centimeters, I was like, hey, you know, can you give me some drugs? By that time, they was like, Ms. Kirkendall, I'm sorry. You're 8 centimeters. There's no turning. You're going to have to go through it. So by that time, I got to gird my loins and told my ex-husband, listen, that puff, puff, whatever they tell you to do, doesn't work. It didn't for me. So let me find me a point on this wall. So and just let me know when the contractions are coming, and I'll brace myself. Just like you said, you brace yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you get ready
yep.
to get in, and because
gotta
it has to
it.
Come.
Yep.
It's going to come
mm-hmm.
whether you want
mm-hmm.
it or not. It's going to come.
Right,
so
whether
you
you're
might
ready
well
or not. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you might as well gird your loins.
Not on our timing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it's just one of those things we all go through, that what ifs, and that's what the show is about tonight. You know, what if, and what if really leads to regrets. You know, what are some of the regrets we had in our lives? You know, when you think about it, God is so awesome and just. He'll take our what ifs and make them to testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
makes them to testimonies. You know, my thing, you know, it's, we can go on for days with this, you know, but, you know, even when it comes to, you know, it, what if, you know, the best thing to do is, you know, seek God first, you know,
mm-hmm.
seek him first, ask his guidance and stuff, you know, and keep staying your word, you know, just stay into your word because the blueprint is there. All we have to do is read it, you know. For me,
right.
I pray that when I read it, that I'm able to comprehend it and then apply it to my life. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's just
mm-hmm.
the way it is. I think I have about, I'm looking at my bookshelf now, and I'm looking at 3 Bibles I have, and I have one Bible that has 4 translations in it. And that Bible is
mm-hmm.
older than me, and I'm 50. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it's just interesting, but, you know, we just have to find out that, you know, you can't go wrong with the Bible. That's the instruction manual of life.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned
mm-hmm.
earlier, regret goes back even to First Samuel, I mentioned, you know, regarding, you know, the appointment of Saul being king and how
mm-hmm.
Saul just disappointed God. You know,
mm-hmm.
he just did what
mm-hmm.
he wanted to do and not what he was instructed to do. replaced by God. And then who ended up replacing Saul, if I'm not mistaken? It was David, wasn't he? David was anointed. Mm-hmm. And when they looked at David, well, let me say this. When the family looked at David, he was a little pipsqueak or whatever, you know, and ended up he was the one that God called him. You know, God called him.
After his own heart. You adulteress, you murderer.
Exactly.
Right. And
he was quite a few things. He was quite a few things, you know. What if he didn't see Bathsheba? You know, what if he didn't do this? Mm-hmm. What if he didn't do that?
Right.
He was still a man enough to go to God's whole heart to say this. You know, you could piggyback if you like, you know. David was a man after God's own heart. We are women after God's own heart. Does that make us perfect? Mm-hmm. No. You're not going to be perfect, okay? So I don't want anyone to get the misconception that, you know, once you it's one and done, and no, it's not. It's not one of those situations. You know, it's life. And as long as you're living, you're going to experience. And you're going to have quite a few of those what-if moments, but it's the foundation in your heart. It's
and
the foundation in your heart.
What I've come to understand is when God called David a man after his own heart, just as he called me a woman after his own heart, not that I'm perfect even today, flawed and all. God looks at our heart. It's you know, even when we ask for forgiveness, it's one thing to ask for forgiveness, but then to really mean that you want to be forgiven. You know, it's to be in the right place, you know, spiritually and mentally and in your heart. Are you really resentful? Do you really regret doing this? Or if the opportunity presented itself in a different way that will benefit you in any way, would you take that chance again? You know? Or are you really, you know? And so some things, even our thoughts, you know, and some things that, you know, I've even done, and I'm like, I said, you know, and I'm sitting and I'm praying and I'm, you know, just in my mind saying things or, you know, being not appreciative, you know, because of certain situations going on, not being as appreciative in the moment that I should. And I said, but God, you know my heart. You know my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you know, it's crazy thinking going on right now, but you know my heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he's talking about, you know, knowing David's heart. Because David was a worshiper also.
We can thank him for the Book of Psalms. We can thank him for that because and it goes to show you, you know, yes, there are things that we regret in life, but there is redemption. There is redemption.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at your heart. And, you know, when I when I think about all the things I've gone through and all the things that I've done, and I just think about his grace and how he just kept me throughout it all. Because I used to always, you know, I always tease my family, and I'd be like this, you know, I know God was like this. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, please. Please go surround her because I got work for her to do, and she just don't know no better. So just come on and circle around her because I got work for her to do. And I'm grateful for that because he's gracious like that.
Yes.
He is gracious like that, that even in the midst of my confusion, even in the midst of me, especially when I had my addiction, you know, and I knew that it wasn't right, but it was comfortable for me, and that is the only – it was my sense of relief, my pain relief. It was just my comforter at that time. And when I got to a point where I was just like, you know, for me, I can't quit. I can't wean off anything. It was just cold turkey. All right, I'm done with this. Lord, I'm trusting it to you. You know, I just had to get to that point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you get tired of the what ifs, 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 you eventually, you're going to get sick and tired. And when you get sick and tired and sick and tired, you're going to make a decision. Do I want to live or do I want to die? Do I want to, you know, excel? What do you want to do? What do you want? Because anything you want bad enough, you're going to make it happen. And that's just all to it. I'm going to pause right there for a second. I see someone's on my calling line. I'm going to see if they want to say anything. And if not, don't say anything. And if so, come on and introduce yourself. I'm going to get her on the line with all both of us. So this is Fichina Carganola. You're tuning into Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. Thank you for tuning in. Could you give me your city and state? Okay. Not a problem. Not a problem. I wanted to give people opportunity to do that. So thank you for tuning in anyway, because I really appreciate people listening. And those who are, I just thank you. And if you know of anyone who can be blessed by it, please share it. Share it, share it, share it, share it. But with that being stated, we're going to move forward, that he is just, you know, we all have regrets. And as long as you're living, you won't have regrets. We can't escape it. We just cannot escape it. We're going to have to deal. The thing is, how do you deal with it? How do you deal to a point where you don't have to regret? And I'm going to let you take the wheel on this one, Miss Anita, as far as, since we're wrapping this up, you know, how would you advise anyone, like when they go through regrets and stuff, you know, what would be your nuggets of wisdom?
Personally, I would, because I have a relationship with God, that's the first thing, because that helps me to understand why certain things have to happen and why certain things I have to go through, because my steps are ordered, because I have a life to live on purpose. So there are some things that are just inevitable for me to go, you know, it just say I'm in Charlotte, you know, in order for me to get to Atlanta, I'm going to have to go down at least a Highway 20 or 85. So there are some things that I'm going to see on 85 that I might not see on 20. Or, you know, going to Virginia, there's certain things on that path that I will not see on 20 and 85 based on our destiny. There are some things we just going to have to go through anyway. And so in going through those things and experiencing those things, you know, we have to understand that comes along with the territory, because we're moving from one height to another height to another height. You know, we're living life on purpose. We have destiny to get to.
You know, I appreciate that.
Helps me to deal with it. Yes.
And what would you say for those who are on that destiny that might encounter?
Continue on. Like I said, I mean, I've gotten to a place where I just grit my teeth and buckle down, because I know that I have to go through this. And my prayer at the time is, God, give me the strength and the wisdom to get through this time, this only one time. I don't want to repeat it. I have to go through it. So give me what I need, the wisdom, the strength to get through it this one time.
I love that. For women and men who are listening out there, you know, just let you know that you're not alone. Miss Anita, myself, and plenty of other people, I'm sure you know, including yourself, we have all gone through those what ifs in our lives. And when you've gone through the what ifs and you end up with the consequences may not feel good at the time, but if you just stick it out, as Miss Anita said, and just ask God to give you the strength to get through it, you know, don't give up. Don't quit. Stay in your truth. And what is your truth? You know that when you go to God, he is love. That is your truth. You know that he's going to love you in the good times. He's going to love you in the bad times. He is just going to love you because that's all he knows. He is a gentle God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you ask that question, well, where is he? Where is he? And I'm reminded of, I think it's a poem called Footprints. And it talks about the person being on the road and there are two footprints in the sand. And then at some point, there's only one footprint in the sand. And so they ask the question, well, where were you? I was carrying you through.
Mm-hmm. And also,
I was
too,
carrying
Katrina,
you through.
Yes. And two, when God is teaching us, you know, in our lessons, there are tests. And, you know, in school, when we're taking a test, we're quiet. And so something critical, when we're going through a test, you know, God is quiet.
Very much.
You know, he's quiet. Yeah, because we're being tested. He taught you. Now you're going to be tested on it.
And that's the time when he's quiet, when we need to, what do you do when he's quiet? Stay still.
Yes, that's right. And to remember what he taught us. Remember that we have a purpose. Remember that we can't give up until we reach destiny. Remember that our life is not our own. We got to stand still. You know?
And sometimes that can be a little hard, but it's necessary.
It's necessary. It's necessary. And that's what keeps me going, is that I know that I have to do it. Because one of those dreams that I was telling you about, the dreams that I've had that 3 years consecutively, is I was going through this this desert. You know, this first year was just hot, and it's just, you know, in the desert, there's nothing but sand and heat. And that second year I got there, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm so tired. I said, you know, can I just stop and rest? And he said, if you stop, the enemies are going to kill you. I said, can I just, you know, just bend on one knee and just rest for a minute? He said, yeah, slow down, they're going to kill you. And so I'm getting up there, and I see the enemies, they're shooting, and I'm having to walk straight down the path. And so, you know, you can't stop, you can't slow down, you can't go back to where you came from, and you can't stay where you are. The only choice you've got is to continue forward.
And to keep moving forward.
That's right. That third year was a year that I was able to see God in his big, beautiful body of blue water and what appears to be paradise back there, like a beautiful beach resort. And so, and it let me know you continue on, you will reach destiny. You can't stop. Going back is not a choice. Stopping is not a choice.
It's just like the baby. You got to get, once it starts, you just have to
get
through it. You got to get first.
Right. Got to get
You
got to
get through it. You got to get through it.
And
you
our
know,
baby is our destiny. Yes.
Yes. Yes. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right on that. When I think of a Bible verse, as we're getting ready to wrap up, it comes from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Well, you know what? Let me go back. I want to go to Romans first, Romans 8 and 1, just to let you know. And it says, and this is from the NIV version, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, when we go through these things called what ifs and we have those regrets, the only thing I want to add to that is don't get caught up in the regrets. So to the point where you get stuck. You have to get to the point where, yes, it happened. It's done. God forgave. Now I have to forgive myself. And I have to move forward. Because in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, this is the King James Version, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Even when you sway, even when you, you know you should have done something, and you did it anyway, stay focused. Stay on it. Just know he's directing your path. No, he probably didn't tell you to do that, but you did it anyway. But come back. And just like Anita said, you know, he's such a gracious God, and he's going to carry us. We just have to trust in him. And then trust in ourselves as well. You know, you have to know that you're going to get through. Regardless, you're going to get through. You're going to definitely get through. Miss Anita, I cannot begin to tell you how much it was a pleasure having you on the show tonight. It's always a pleasure when you're on, but I really thank you for allowing yourself to be vulnerable and sharing with the crowd because there's someone out there. And when I think that there are times when I get discouraged. There's always something that reminds me that I'm on the right path, and I know it is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to end the show with this. I'm not sure if you are familiar with Power Up Summit, but it's an awesome, a phenomenal organization, and they're doing their summit this week from July 13th through the 14th through the 18th. I have actually been privileged to be a speaker there, and you can register at www.timetopowerup.com. This is Bettina Kirkendall. God, I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.